When Muriel returned to the office, she paged Larry, requesting he get here on the double. She also called the detective commander to be certain her message wasn't ignored. Immunity for Collins was the PA's decision, but the case detective was entitled to be consulted. And it went without saying that it was past time for Larry to show his face. Angry and frustrated by Harlow, she had no more patience for Larry's juvenile antics. But by the time he arrived an hour later, Ned Halsey, the Bantam PA, was holding forth. Ned was famously affable, but he was exercised now. Halsey motioned Larry to close the door, then continued addressing Muriel, who was at her large desk. "Kenny Harlow was an asshole when I went to law school with him 45 years ago, said Ned. "So if you're asking me, will he actually behave like an asshole, the answer is yes."
"I still don't think the Court of Appeals will let him stuff an immunity down our throats, Ned," Muriel answered.
"He'll eat the flesh right off your bones before then, Muriel," said Ned. "Judge says Chief Deputy lied. Never mind yourself and the permanent damage you'll do to you. Do you care to see the office endure that?"
"No, I don't."
"What?" asked Larry. Muriel explained in a few strokes what had gone on in court. Larry responded with pique. "Christ, Ned, you can't give immunity. God knows what Collins is going to say. This far from events, he can basically make it up as he goes. We'll never be done with this case."
"Larry," said the PA on his way out, "we can talk all we want about office policy. It still looks like we're hiding the truth.
My vote is to try to cut a deal with Arthur. Offer the immunity in exchange for an end to all further appeals if it turns out Collins doesn't help them."
Muriel didn't think Arthur would bite on that.
"Good," replied Ned. "At least you'll have some political coverage if you decide to go mano a mano with Kenny."
Ned was a good man and wise. She liked his solution.
Larry and she watched the PA close the door behind himself.
"So?" Muriel said. "Was it something I said or something I did? No cards? No calls? No flowers?"
A moment ago, she expected to say nothing at all. And even beginning to speak, she had thought she could manage to sound carefree. But the acid virtually sizzled. She placed both hands on her desk and took a deep breath. "Don't worry, Larry. That's not why I called."
"I didn't think so.
I just wanted to hear you out about Collins."
"You can't give him immunity, Muriel. Dickerman finally got back to me on that gun."
"When was that?"
"Last week."
"Last week? When were you figuring on telling me?"
"As soon as I knew what to say about the rest of it."
"The rest of it? Is that a personal reference?"
"I think that's what you'd call it."
Here in the office, they had the advantage of a cooler, more abstracted tone. Across the desk from him, she folded her arms and asked if he thought what had happened between them last week had been a mistake.
"I'm not sneaking around again, Muriel. Either we're in or we're out."
"What's in and what's out?"
"I'm talking about you leaving Talmadge. Me leaving Nancy. I'm talking about saying once and for all we made a mistake. A big mistake way back when. And that we'll try to rescue what's left to be saved."
"Wow," Muriel said.
"I'm serious." "I can tell," she said. "I need to think about this, Larry. Think hard."
"Yeah," he said. "Think hard."
He looked at her a little longer. "But you probably won't be talking to me."
"And why is that?"
His anger was abruptly behind him. He collapsed in the oak chair at the corner of her desk. "Because," he answered, "I still haven't told you what Mo said about that gun."
As he spoke, Muriel shrank back and grew hard and cool as stone. "And what did you do with Dickerman's report?" she asked when he'd finished.
"Let's say I lost it."
"Let's say." She rested her forehead against her hands.
"It doesn't matter, Muriel. Squirrel did it. You know he did it. If he did it with Erno and Collins, he still did it."
"That's a theory, Larry. That's your theory. Maybe it's our theory, but their theory is that Erno did this alone, and their theory is maybe just an eensy teensy little bit more persuasive when you add in that his fingerprints are in blood on the trigger of the murder weapon."
may be the murder weapon.
Jesus, she said, and sat winding her head. What the hell were you thinking, Larry? I want that revolver to ballistics this afternoon and to serology the minute they're done with it. And get ATF to do the trace on the serial number.
Yes, ma'am.
What else don't I know?
Forget it.
No mas, Larry. We're not going to play trust me after this.
Fine. Do you think that cameo was really in Squirrel's pocket?
He shut her up with that. Even Muriel the Ferocious showed a reflex of fear.
I did.
Well, it was.
Fuck you, she said in relief.
But it wasn't there the day I arrested him.
It was there the night before, and some light-fingered copper took it home. I just sort of replaced it.
Don't tell me you're shocked.
She wasn't. He could see that.
Larry, hiding fingerprints on the murder weapon isn't the same thing as tightening up the case. You know that.
She faced the forward panel of the bay window behind her.
What a mess, she said.